Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I'm glad to be with you here this morning. Anybody that knows me really well pretty much know what two of my most favorite things are to do. And I said two of the most favorite, so don't let your mind run away with that. The first is messing around with old cars. Now, there's no doubt I like new cars, too. They're exciting. They're beautiful, and the technology is amazing, but there's just something about a stinky old car that I like, and turning them into something that they used to be, you know, just resurrecting that. Another thing that is one of my passions is music, and I like listening to music, but I'm a guitar player, and I enjoy playing music, and my favorite artist is none other than JT, James Taylor. And it's been that way. Yeah, I'll tell you where that basically started. In a 1973 Chevrolet Monte Carlo with an 8-track tape deck. Yep. There was a 8-track that my brother had. It was titled, the name of the album was Mud Slide Slim. And that was one of the songs on there. And James Taylor just got a hold of my heart, and I started singing all along with that. Well, when I started dating my wife, the only wife that I've ever had, we're celebrating. As a matter of fact, yesterday was our, 43rd wedding anniversary. Don't tell her I couldn't remember that. 43rd wedding anniversary. But we started dating when she was 15 and I was 16. I robbed the cradle. But anyway, we used to drive around, and I would put the Mudslide Slim tape in and hit the play button and start singing along with it. And one day she looked over me and says, "You sound just like him." Well, I knew I didn't, but, I was hooked at that point. So I play a lot of James Taylor music and enjoy that. I think everybody needs something to keep them interested in life and active. I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably a 6.5, because I've seen 10s and I'm nowhere near that. And I know what a 9 sounds like, but I'm not a 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. I'm a finger picker and play bluegrass and just about anything you can name or sing. But, it's just something that I enjoy doing. Now, however, I am learning how to play the mandolin, or mandolin, depending on where you're from. And so I figure, since you say violin, then it's probably mandolin, because they're tuned exactly the same. Did you know that? Did you know? I didn't know that. I didn't know that a violin and a mandolin are tuned exactly the same thing. They're the same way. The strings are tuned the same. Did I get that out? Yeah, I think I did. And the difference is that the violin has 4 strings and the mandolin has 8. And so you press them down the same way as if you're playing a violin. But I tell you, violin's much tougher because it doesn't have frets on it. You know what a fret is? That's those little steel bars that run up and down the neck of a guitar. Those are called frets. And you push the string down until it contacts the fret solidly, and then it changes the note. And so when you play in a mandolin, I'm just going to go with that, you have to press a little bit harder. And when you've been playing a guitar all your life, switching to a mandolin is, it's hard, because my big old fat fingers have a hard time getting that small in that contact space. But I'm having a ball just figuring out the scales and the notes and things like that. And I'll never be any good on a mandolin, but I'm trying and I'm learning, you know, and so I'm keeping my mind open. You know, this same kind of a thing applies to vehicle ownership. I know that's, since it's a show about cars, I figure I need some kind of a segue there. So pardon if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But getting used to something is so important. When we sell a new car to somebody, the vast majority of the people that we sell new cars to have owned their existing car for 5 or 6 years. They've gotten used to it. it's comfortable for them. You know, it's so intuitive. They know where the buttons are. You know, they know where to reach to adjust the temperature in the car or the radio. They know where their gear shift is. They know how to turn their headlights on and their windshield wipers. When you get into a brand new car, it's a totally different deal. And when you're younger, not like me, you figure that stuff out pretty quickly than when you're older. You know, our minds maybe work a little bit slower. No offense, but that's me. I'm speaking about me. So, you know, it takes me a while to get reoriented to this new environment. And the problem is that we're hurtling down the road at 70 miles an hour. You know, that's not the time to figure this stuff out. And, you know, I encourage people, like I had my brother-in-law up at the dealership and his beautiful wife, and they came in to visit. We went out to eat at the General Morgan Inn down here in Greenville. And by the way, the food is phenomenal there. If you haven't been to the General Morgan in Greenville, you need to come if you want a nice evening out. Don't wear high waders or, you know, dirty boots in there because it's kind of a nice place. It's not like Cootie Brown's, although I love Cootie Brown's. Let's say it's just a little bit more formal, but I still wear, you know, dress casually. I'm always casual. But my brother-in-law was interested in getting a new vehicle for his wife, and she'd been driving a, let's say, what, 2013 Ford Explorer, and they really liked the Explorer, and they asked if I had any Explorers, and I said, not right now. There's the Explorer plant is shut down. And we sold our last three Explorers last month, so we're still waiting for them to come in. Hopefully that's going to alleviate at some point. But anyway, I said, well, let's just drive the all-new Nissan Pathfinder, which is a very interesting vehicle, and Nissan just did a fabulous job with it, so I figured that was something comparable. And so we drove it, or she did, and then we drove the Rogue as well. And, of course, when you're used to the size of something, it's always hard to go down. Would you agree with that? I mean, like when you go from a big house to a small condo, I think that's a tough adjustment for people. When you're used to having all this room, you know, you can get away from each other if there's two of you in the house. You can go to your own spots, your own corners. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult for folks to get used to going down in size as far as a vehicle is concerned. It is not an easy transition, and I've seen it play out where it becomes a costly proposition because people buy something smaller thinking it's going to be okay, and then a year later they're wanting to trade it and they're $10,000 upside down because of depreciation. Depreciation hasn't been a problem in the last year or so because of the shortage of new vehicles, but it's better to go ahead and get the right size vehicle, basically what you want. Rather than, you know, experiment and just shoot from the hip, as my dad used to say, and make a quick decision without really thinking about it. So my recommendation to folks is to take a thorough test drive. Folks, 10 miles is not far enough. You need to get out, and if, you know, typically the salesperson will want to go with you, and that's no problem. I don't want him to think you're kidnapping him. You know, make sure you tell him, I said, now I want to drive his car a ways. Go down to the interstate. You know, if you live in Johnson City, go out the interstate, maybe go to Gray, turn around, get on some curvy roads, go to a parking lot, pull into a Boot City parking lot and pull into a parking place and then back out again. Can you see? Can you see out? I mean, make sure you understand how this technology works, the backup cameras and all that kind of stuff. And then when you get back to the dealership, just open that thing up. I mean, open up the hatch, fold down the seats, open up all the doors, lift the hood. There is not one person in 100 that will look under the hood anymore. And I think that's important to look at the engine. Why? So you know how to check certain things. Get that salesperson to show you how to check the oil on that car. I bet some of them don't even know how. You know, look at how easy it is to check your fluids. If you want to add windshield washer solvent, you know, is that hard? Do you need a college degree to be able to do that? Instructions, you know, maybe that's not what you want. Make sure you know how to open the hood. It's funny to see some of these new salespeople try to open the hoods. The hood releases are all over the place. And, you know, that salesperson should know where that is. And you should too. So anyway, just get test drive the vehicles, get comfortable with it. If they'll let you take it home overnight, do that. I mean, that's another way to make sure. That's even better, you know, to make sure that you really do like that vehicle. We'll talk about some other things that you ought to do before you sign on the dotted line. We'll be back in just a minute. I guess most of you have probably heard of Alison Krauss. Yeah, she and I hang out a lot and play some. No, I'm just kidding. We don't. I wish I could. Love her voice. But anyway, she was in a band or is in a band called Union Station. Is that right? I think that's what it is. And one of the bass player is a guy named Barry Bales, and he is a customer of ours and comes in occasionally. And he and I have talked about different things, mostly on the phone when I called and asked him some questions about recording some stuff. But yeah, he's the only famous musician that I know. Others I would like to know, specifically James Taylor. You know, when you get that expert opinion from somebody who really knows what they're doing, that's handy. Occasionally I will go on and watch YouTube videos on how to play certain songs that and try to do the technique that James Taylor uses on his songs. But there's one big problem with that. I can't pick with all of my fingers, and he can. I'm limited to my thumb, my index finger, and my middle finger. And my ring finger is just about worthless. So, but James is not restricted in that manner. So I can't play him exactly like he does. You know, I have to compensate. You are not an expert in cars. Well, I mean, I've got to be careful with that statement because some of you are. Some of you have had a lot of experience with cars. You understand mechanics maybe even way better than I do. Some of you may have purchased 15 cars in your life, and you don't need Lenny Lawson to tell you how to not make a mistake. And that's fine. The vast majority of people are not experts in that. They don't do it often enough. I mean, it's hard to be an expert if you don't do it pretty often. I mean, I play the guitar just about every night, at least for 5 minutes. Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. And but it is a therapy for me, and I've enjoyed it for that reason. But I am not an expert guitar player. And most people are not experts when it comes to buying, selling, servicing, taking care of their cars, identifying problems, being able to diagnose things. And so you need that expert. A lot of people rely on YouTube to learn how to do things, and I do that a lot. I was installing some new cabinet runners. I've got this big silverware drawer that keeps falling out, and my wife said, please fix that. I smashed my finger the other day because of that cabinet. Well, that was the last straw for me, so I'm not having my wife smashing her fingers. So I decided to go to Lowe's and buy some tracks, and I got stumped. I got it halfway installed, and then my mind does just not think three-dimensionally and upside down. But I happen to have a son-in-law who is an expert. He actually builds furniture. Well, he used to, and installed cabinets and stuff. So Ben Nelson, my sales manager and son-in-law extraordinaire, came over to my house and took one look at it and said, okay. And he said, do you have any of this? Do you have any of this? You know, so I was the helper then. And so now my drawer works perfectly and will not smash my wife's finger. And that's a good thing. We all need that. We need somebody who is an expert in whatever thing that we need help with. You need a plumber. You need a lawyer. Well, hopefully you don't need a lawyer, but I do. You know, in business and stuff, I have to get their advice on different things. And there are some legal matters, contracts and stuff like that I need them to look at. So you got to have somebody on call. Well, I want to be that guy for you. You know, if you need, you don't know a car dealer. You don't know a lot about cars, and you need somebody that can give you advice. You don't have to know me. Heck, if you've listened to this radio show for 6 months, you probably know me better than most people do. pick up the phone and let your fingers do the walking and give me a call. My number is 423-552-2020. That is the only phone that I have. My wife and I took the home phone out. We didn't see any sense in paying for a landline when we had two cell phones, and that's worked out pretty good. You know, I went down to Xfinity the other day. I was just looking at my Xfinity bill. That's for internet and, you know, cable and stuff like that. And I said, this is ridiculous. I remember when we used to pay $49 for cable. And I think my bill was like $290. And I didn't rent anything. It was just for all the different charges, internet. So I went in and said, can I do anything about this? This just, it's too much. And the guy looked at it. He said, yeah. He says, you're on an old plan. You know, you need I can change this around and drop this off. He said, you realize you have a landline on here? And I said, what? And he said, yeah, you have a landline. Well, I said, what's the phone number? And he said, some crazy number I've never heard. And I said, well, where did that come from? He said, well, I mean, you must have signed up for it. I did not sign up for a landline, and I have no idea how long I've been paying for it. Now, that happens to people when they buy cars. You know, they say, well, I don't know. I didn't know I had an extended warranty. I didn't know I had gap insurance. I didn't know I bought, you know, maintenance, prepaid maintenance. That stuff is going to get sneaked in sometimes if you're not paying attention. That's why you need an expert. You know, you need somebody that can advise and coach you a little bit. How long have I been paying for a landline? And he said, looks like a couple years. And I said, how much? About $20 a month. Wasted money. I'm regretting it. Just think how many trips I could have made to the bean barn with that money. Makes no sense. So if you're paying for something that you, let's say that you bought a car a year ago, and you know, a lot of that stuff that you have, if you bought that stuff for in the finance office, you can cancel it and get a refund. A lot of people don't know that. They think they have to pay it off. They're stuck with it. They bought it. They're stuck with it. You're not. You can even cancel an extended warranty. You can cancel gap insurance. You can cancel. There's some stuff that's non-cancelable, and you need to know that before you sign up for it in the finance office. Ask the finance manager, okay, all this junk that you're wanting me to buy, is it cancelable? And they'll tell you if it is or if it isn't. Now, most of these protections like tire and wheel protection, paint and dent protection, you know, there's all kinds of protections that you can sign up for, and they want to sell you, and they've got them marked up too much. You know, you can, some of that stuff is not cancelable, and you need to ask them if it is. So, but extended warranties are. Now, I'm not saying go out there and cancel your extended warranty. That doesn't make a lot of sense to do that, unless you didn't know you had it. If you didn't know you had it, and you've got a 7-year, 150,000 mile plan, and you always trade every 2 or 3 years, then cancel it. I mean, I guarantee there are people that are on a 3-year trade cycle out there that bought an extended warranty and didn't even know it. It's called payment packing. It's illegal. But there are dealers in this market, when I say this market, the Tri-Cities and in Knoxville and just about every state somewhere that are notorious payment packers. They don't disclose it until it's in the finance office, and then I call it disclosure light. It's kind of like Miller Lite, less calories. They don't really do a good job disclosing it. They kind of just pass by it, and, you know. Anyway, they don't want you to really know because they're afraid you'll say, take that out, and that's what you got to watch out for. And we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Folks, if you are if you're driving like a Honda, new Honda, still under warranty, Toyota, Mitsubishi, or Chevrolet, or Ford, just about all of them, if you are under warranty, take your vehicle back to the dealer to have it serviced and maintain service records that way. I know it may not be as convenient, but I tell you what, if you ever have a warranty issue and that dealership or the factory looks in your record and sees that you have maintain your vehicle thoroughly. And let's say that you're just slightly out of warranty. They'll step up and they'll pay for it because you are a loyal customer to their brand and you used factory filters and factory replacement parts. That does pay off. Now, if you want to go to, the fast lube place later on, fine. I just don't think you should. No offense, guys that own those things, but I mean, I don't think you're going to run short of customers because, you know, I've only got 14 people to listen to this radio show. No, not really. But anyway, I think that it's important I know it's important because I've seen it. I've seen it happen where somebody has a warranty issue let's say it was out of warranty, but it would have been covered by the warranty if it hadn't run out of warranty. But they had it serviced at, you know, Walmart and all these different places, and the manufacturer denies any assistance. Now, I've seen them step up and go like as much as 30,000, 40,000 miles out of warranty if the customer was a loyal customer, got it serviced at the dealership, and were diligent with it. Now, they may not pay for the whole repair, but, you know, maybe they'll just pay labor or they'll pay for the parts. And parts are expensive, and labor's expensive. So I think it pays off in the long run. If you're driving a Honda, Toyota, or whatever brand you are, take it back to the dealer to have it serviced. It doesn't cost any more, I'm sure. I mean, it doesn't cost any more here at Gateway than it does at the Fast Lube place. Matter of fact, the Fast Lube places charge more for an oil change than I do. And using factory filters and factory oil and everything that's recommended. So it really does not cost more. And, most places try to make it convenient anyway. So just an important tip for those of you that are going to own a car for a long time, and if it goes out of warranty, you can just blame it on Lenny Lawson because I can make sure that it happens. Matter of fact, I'll help make a phone call. If you have an issue and you listen to this radio show, just tell me that you listen, and I mean, I'll believe you. And we'll see if we can't help out. So I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday.